This is gonna be cool.
The topics and opinions expressed on the Dudes and Beer podcast are intended for an audience of 18 and up and are solely those of the host and guests. They neither reflect the opinions or values of either the sponsors of Dudes and Beer or your mother. I mean, seriously. Have you ever heard these guys? They'll talk about anything.
Whoa, hey, you think they're gonna show it?
They'll probably just blur it out.
Whoa, check it out, Beavis.
Grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 80. Episode
what?
80 of
Holy
Dudes and Beer.
Shit.
Holy shnikes, boys and girls.
Damn.
Where we have come from, where we have come to over the last year and some months is pretty incredible. Right now, we are actually joined in the background by the band next door, which has not happened in months and months and months. So it'll be interesting to see what they do tonight, see what they give us in the background. The foreground of the show will actually be all about the possible hacking of the DNC by Russia, whether or not this is actually a news story or not, and why it's a news story or not. We've got a couple of clips to go through from the news, one of them from August, one of them from this last Sunday, and we'll get into all that right after this message from our sponsor.
Hey everybody, Chris Jordan, host of the Dudes and Beer podcast here. Has this ever happened to you? Tired of looking in your rearview mirror after a couple of drinks with friends or worrying about no-refusal weekends and DUI stops? Are you planning a night on the town and want an easy, safe way to get around while still having fun? Well, Fare is the ride service for you. Simply download the easy-to-use and free Fare app from the Google Play Store or iTunes Marketplace and use promo code DUDES10 every time you ride with Fare to save 10% off your ride. Have a Fare driver you liked riding with? You can not only give them a review and tip, but you can add them to your preferred drivers list on your Fare app and request them every time you ride with Fare. You can schedule rides with Fare to pick you up immediately or as far as 30 minutes to 7 days in advance, eliminating the need for last-minute calls and allowing you to pre-schedule pickups in locations other than your home city. Perfect for those traveling for business or for fun. So don't forget to stop on by and download that free Fare app and use the coupon code DUDES10 every time you ride with Fare to get 10% off your ride. That's right, don't forget, the coupon code is DUDES10. So be like Dudes and Beer, everybody. Party safe, use Fare, and drink responsibly.
And we are back. We were just talking off air about how we just got our first Fare payment. So we're so happy to have Fare as a sponsor. Thank you guys so much. We greatly appreciate it. Make sure to hop on there.
Be fair and use
sign
fair.
On. That is the code DUDES10. DUDES10.
You know, I had to clarify with a person that I work with, and I was giving him, you know, hey, the promo code is DUDES. He was like, yeah, but, you know, that's only for new users. I was like, no, man.
No, it's not.
I was like, dude, it's every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
I think he may be correct in the fact that you have to do it whenever you sign up.
Oh, are you serious?
Really?
So he may have to actually cancel his account and start a new one to get the code.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll
But at that point, once you start,
right,
and you start with that code, every ride is 10% off.
Oh, okay.
You so start with the code and you continue using the code?
Yes, the
okay.
code is on your account in perpetuity, so
okay.
every ride you take is 10% off.
Oh.
Okay.
So
all
it's
right.
not just your first ride.
Yeah.
It's every ride.
Gotcha.
But yes, if I'm not mistaken, they do have to use the code when they sign up for Fare.
Cool.
So just a little clarification on that side, folks. And speaking of clarification, that's what we're getting into tonight. You know, we talk a lot about the media on this show, and we talk a lot about what would be called the drive-by media, you know, the people that are simply using headlines, the people that are chasing headlines more than stories. And we're going to start off here with a clip from Ben Swan. Now, of course, in the news and what we're talking about has been the revelation, quote unquote, that Russia, and this is the story that's being pushed, that Russia hacked the DNC and the RNC and only put out emails from the DNC before the election. Now, that's been refuted by Reince Priebus, the head of the RNC. We'll play that clip here in a little while. That was refuted on Sunday after the article came out.
Right.
On Saturday. And, you know, the questions that come to bear are disinformation, real information, the agencies that are giving it to us, and also the topic of fact that, as we've said on this show numerous times since it started, in 2013, the U.S. dropped propaganda law. So technically, the government's allowed to tell the news whatever the shite they want. They can tell the news whatever they want and make up any kind of news they want to put out there as disinformation. So the question is, from at least in my mind, from an agency whose job basically it is to create disinformation and to disrupt politics across the world, this is who we're trusting with information.
Right.
So let's get into this first clip. This first clip is from Ben Swan, who is a reporter for Fox News. He's a great guy. I met him a long time ago whenever I was on air, and he, to me, is probably one of the last actual reporters in America. And this report came out August 2nd, when the first bout of this started happening during the debates. And it was brought up that the Russians may have hacked the DNC. And it's still been yet to show that it is the Russian government, as the article highlights. I have it highlighted, and we'll look at it after the clip here. But they've said that it's third-party sources that are loosely attached to the intelligence community of Russia. So it's not like it came down from the Kremlin and on high to hack these things and do this stuff. And to me, to say so as a news organization without the evidence being full and complete is dangerous in and of itself. That instigates things. That causes issues with foreign governments. So, you know, what's really the reasoning behind this is my question. So let's hear Ben Swan's take here. It's about a 3-minute clip, but it's a really, really, really good take on what's happening. So let's check it out. This came out August 2nd. And this is why we were saying in the intro whether or not it's an actual news story, because this shit's 3 months old.
Well, for the past week, media has moved from the DNC leak scandal to obsessing over not what was in the leak, but moving to who is responsible. They say it was the Russians. But do the voters that the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton need actually care? This is a reality check you won't see anywhere else. Well, 1 week after the DNC leak hacking scandal rocked the Democratic convention, national media and the Clinton campaign have found their official source of the leak: Russian intelligence.
We know that Russian intelligence services, which are part of the Russian government, which is under the firm control of Vladimir Putin, hacked into the DNC, and we know that they arranged for a lot of those emails to be released. And we know that Donald Trump has shown a very troubling willingness to back up Putin, to support Putin.
So let's be clear. The Clinton campaign says that it knows an awful lot, that the Russian intelligence services hacked the DNC and arranged for those emails to be released. Why? Because, as you heard there, Donald Trump is friends with Vladimir Putin, and the Russians want to help Trump win the White House. That was the narrative pushed by Hillary Clinton. For his part, Trump called on the Russians. He did, in fact, call on them to help find Clinton's missing 33,000 emails.
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
But what the media has not touched on is the part of the DNC leak where talking points were meant to push journalists away from Clinton's relationship with Russia. The former head of the Russian uranium company, Uranium One, Ian Toeffler, made 4 undisclosed Clinton Foundation donations totaling $2.35 million. It's a clear violation of Hillary Clinton's ethics agreement with the Obama administration to disclose all donations. That hidden $2.35 million in Clinton Foundation donations from the former Russian uranium chief were part of a larger $145 million given from 9 uranium investors involved in the deal approved by Hillary Clinton to transfer 20% of all U.S. uranium to the Russian government. So the question, did the Russians hack into the DNC computers? Number one, the U.S. government has not officially confirmed that information. Number two, WikiLeaks, that was the organization that actually released the hacked emails, not the Russians. And number three, media is missing the real story here. Because the real story, and what you need to know, is that the Clinton campaign is hoping to smooth things over with Bernie Sanders supporters. Why? Because they are the group who was disenfranchised by the DNC. The DNC hack proved that the Democratic National Committee was not neutral, as it claimed, and that as an organization, the DNC was gaming the primary for Clinton. The information in the leak, it has not been proven false or untrue. So who cares who leaked it? Who cares if it's the Russians, or the Venezuelans, or the French, or some hacker in Romania, or some hacker in an American basement who leaked the emails? Millennials, who Clinton is trying to win back, they don't care who the source of the hack or the leak is, if the information is true. Shooting the messenger, it's not going to change the view of those who believe that their voice in an American primary was trampled on. That's Reality Check. Let's talk about that tonight on Twitter.
And that, to me, really wraps it up, even to where we're at right now. Like I said, that report came out August 2nd. We are almost at Christmas now. This is almost a four-month-old story. Like I said, it's nothing new. And even the news itself, even like here is the article that started it all. Highlighted at the bottom I have, U.S. intelligence officials said the CIA identified the actors who took possession of those stolen files and delivered them to WikiLeaks. The individuals are known for their affiliations to Russian intelligence services, but one step removed from the Russian government. So, to say that Russia itself, like the government hacked this, is some pretty dangerous allegations to be making without the actual evidence and coming from third-party sources. And to me, like Ben Swan said, the real question is, wouldn't you want to refute what's in the emails?
Right.
Wouldn't you want to come out and say, make a statement that what's in the emails is false?
Just like Swan said, you know, the whole point of it is being missed. You know?
The whole point of it is the fact that the angle that's being pushed, and the dangerous angle, is that the Russians interfered with the U.S. election. And that, to me, is a very, very dangerous point to be saying without actual evidence. You know, the releasing of some emails, I mean, I want you guys' opinions on this here in just a second. I don't think the releasing of any emails swayed the election in any way, shape, or form. I don't think that actually happened. I don't think that was the reason for the loss of electoral votes. Anyway, it may have been the reason for some loss of some popular vote, but she didn't lose the popular vote. She won the popular vote, saw that he won the electoral vote, and bowed out, you know, and seceded the election to him.
Sure did.
Now, I guess the question comes to bear, you know, what does it matter to you more where the information came from or whether or not the information is true? I'm coming to you first, Nelson.
Oh, man. I mean, I think the obvious point is if it's true or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
But on the contrary, it's like, what did the truth, you know, show?
Yeah.
And so on the contrary, again, like I was saying, I think at that point it's prevalent of where it came from. If the emails didn't relieve any truth, then I'm more interested in where they actually came from.
Sure. And to me, I think it's the question of, let's get down to the bottom of whether or not the emails are true to begin with, and then we can talk about the source of them.
Right.
And then we can track back the source, just like you're saying. Go ahead.
Right. Steven. Yeah. You know, it's not like so many cliche lines have already been said about, like, you know, don't shoot the messenger. But is it what's being said true? You know, is this content really true? And that's what I think matters most. And I also want to know if Hillary Clinton uses Velcro on her shoes when she puts them on. Because, I mean, I think she's a complete idiot when it comes to things like when she makes a statement, like she was saying, like, just so quickly and detailed on pointing directly to the Russians and her still, staff telling her information. Yeah. But, I mean, unless you've got the facts backing it up, you're making accusations that are, that could be very damaging on
very
on different things.
Well,
yeah.
She wasn't lying and she wasn't bringing up anything. Yeah. She was listening. The CIA had evident proof that the emails and the hacking were coming from Russia, but FBI didn't.
Right.
So in actual proof, Hillary wasn't lying, and she wasn't bringing anything false to the table.
Well, and the question...
There's just two, you have the Central Intelligence Agency...
pulling you different ways,
You have Central Intelligence Agency, and then Federal... Bureau of Investigations. Federal Investigations. They are the Bureau of Federal Investigations.
Right.
When you have CIA, which kind of oversees FBI, they are the central intelligence agency.
Yeah.
They understand what's going in and out of this country all the time.
Right.
So when they go ahead and say yes, and then FBI is like, no, a lot of the media and a lot of the people perceive and believe that CIA over, you know, what they say is correct.
Right.
It's just...
Well, and the FBI...
It's yes,
any
but
accusation,
it's not yes.
The FBI...
It's yes and maybe.
The FBI has come out and said, yes, it was definitely people in Russia.
And we're talking about...
There were definitely
about,
some people in Russia. But to say it's the Kremlin right now is a far foregone conclusion, and we will not say that.
Well, but
we will not say that the orders came from the Kremlin.
But then Hillary did say Russia. She didn't say Kremlin.
Oh, no. She said, well, and she used the very careful wording, though, of the intelligence community in Russia, who was under the iron control of Vladimir Putin.
Right. Yeah. Then she... Yeah.
So she alluded to the fact that Vladimir Putin is behind these attacks.
I don't think she said that. I think she said under the control of Russia.
No,
did she say
didn't
Vladimir?
Say Putin. She did.
Yeah.
She said Vladimir
Putin.
Did.
Okay. Yeah, she very yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And you know,
but
what's
still,
funny
that's
is,
not
we
that's
also
out of
have
context,
like,
you do realize, right?
Well, and like
she's
like
not
Ben Swan said,
Kremlin.
Like Ben Swan said, well, no, but
Vladimir Putin
is the Kremlin.
Might
I mean,
well
it's like
Kremlin.
Saying the White House or
it's not
Barack Hussein Obama.
I know,
there's,
but she was saying
no
under the control of the USSR.
No, in fact,
of
I believe
Russia.
She did say control of Putin.
Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
She named him by name.
Yeah.
And that was 4 months ago. And granted, like we just showed in that report that came out Saturday and started all of this, they have still not shown who the actual actors were. It's still third-party evidence.
See, we're 4 months after what we just listened to, and these accusations still haven't had facts to back them up with.
Well,
I don't get it.
The
you know?
One fact that we have, and Ben Swan pointed out, was that the leaks came out and the emails came out from WikiLeaks, not from the Russian government. They came out from WikiLeaks. And one of the things that happened right after this leak occurred was the mysterious death of a DNC staffer, Seth Rich.
Yep, Seth.
And as the article that I have up from Daily Mail shows, you know, Julian Assange was quoted as saying, our sources go through great efforts and sometimes life-risking efforts to get us the information that we get. He was basically alluding to the fact that this murdered DNC staffer was one of his leaked sources. So...
The death of Seth Rich was labeled, I think...
it was labeled a murder. It was labeled a robbery.
Robbery slash murder, but yet he had everything on him, in money and valuables.
Yeah, and that his dad came out and said
that. That's not a robbery.
And questioned it, and it's still being questioned, and there's still a $20,000 reward for information leading to his death. Because, he was shot in the back, not in the front. Right. So what robber shoots you in the back? That's normally like, they're holding you up from the front.
It's kind of like the homicide police and then, investigations when they go in for an investigation of a murder or death in say like a house or something and somebody's found dead. I mean, they analyze it to say, okay, was this a robbery? Yeah. And everything's intact. All the valuables are still there and stuff like that.
That's just it. You know exactly. I mean? Like they claimed it to be a robbery homicide, yet still his wallet with all the money, all his cash, was still not, like not just his wallet and his credit cards and ID, but his wallet and his cash, his
money,
his very expensive watch was still on his wrist.
This was a hate of some sort. It was personal.
It was something. We have no idea what it was. Yeah. But the fact that I'm bringing up is that Julian Assange came out, the director of WikiLeaks, basically came out and said it was not the Russians. Like, we had another source.
Right.
You know, it's not the Russian government who's given us this stuff. And that was months and months and months ago, right after the leak happened, right after this stuff started happening. And it's interesting to me. I'm definitely not going to blame Russia, because right on the screen right here, I actually have our Google stats for the last month, and there's a 63% reason why I'm not going to blame Russia.
Those are who listen.
That's because 63% of our listeners over the last month have come from Russia. Either that, or maybe we are actively being probed for hack attack.
Oh, ooh, hello.
Who knows?
Like I was saying earlier,
that could be the other question.
You can't hack something that has an open door when we're inviting already.
We're already inviting you in.
Yeah, we're just watching you come in to listen.
If you're actually eavesdropping, all I ask is, hey, listen to the whole episode. Maybe drop a comment in there.
Say hello from Moscow. We don't care.
But to me, the question comes to bear of, you know, we have yet to prove that it is the Kremlin. We've yet to prove that it's like commands from on high. And not only that, but the language of saying that they meddled in the U.S. election, that they influenced the U.S. election, that they hacked the election. That's dangerous rhetoric, because a lot of people aren't going to understand what they mean. They're going to read the headline and think Russia hacked voting boxes.
People will believe the headline and not read the rest of the stuff. So easily, some headline could easily influence masses that has a huge, huge, you know, thing that would happen. You know?
Well, and it's interesting to me how this comes on the heels of all the fake news stories in the news. when like, you know, it's known, and feel free to Google it up. You know,
which one?
InQtel was who funded
Pokemon.
Facebook
And Pokemon.
Well, and Pokemon Go, and a lot of things. But InQtel gave money to Google. They gave money to Facebook as startups. They continue to fund Facebook. Mm-hmm. And InQtel is the financial arm of the CIA. And it's funny, because one of the first big claims to fame that happened with Facebook was the Egyptian, oh my God, it just left my head. The Arab Spring. Happened. Yeah, the beginning of the overthrow of Hosni Mubarak and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where it was a social movement that was started on Facebook.
Social movement.
That brought people out to the town square. And they never did find the dude that started the social movement.
Nope.
So, interesting how part of the CIA's job is meddling in elections.
Yeah.
toppling foreign governments, putting puppet regimes into power across the globe, and yet
I bet
still,
their social media department is huge and one of the biggest.
Yeah, you know, yet still they're the source that we're supposed to trust on this, and that to me is odd, number one. Number two, it's really odd to me that the DNC is decrying that the hack attack influenced the election, when what was revealed in those emails that was, once again, like Ben Swan said, never denied, was the fact that the DNC definitely rigged the primary. That they definitely took part
DNC.
In rigging the primary for the Democratic Party. And
They treated little Bernie really bad.
it's not been refuted. they haven't come out and said, no, that's not the case, that's not what happened. Like, as a matter of fact, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, head of the DNC, lost her job.
Yep, she sure did.
Because of it.
And then was reporting the election as it was going on live. We were sitting there watching it. That was funny to have her reporting it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, it hadn't been refuted. As a matter of fact, it's been shown and proven. So you're blaming a foreign government for meddling in an election that you yourself meddled in and took part
in
trying to win.
It's like spy versus spy, but the thing that their accusations they got flying, it's like, prove it, man. Just prove it. Just give us one fact at least.
Well, and that's just it. Now, and moving on, let's go on with that, because coming up next is it's a good 5-minute clip, but it's with Reince Priebus this last weekend on Meet the Press with George Stephanopoulos responding. And he does a decent job.
I always get a hard time saying that Stephanopoulos.
Schooling George Stephanopoulos on it. And George Stephanopoulos, as he states in the thing, is former head of the White House press corps. He was a dude that came out and gave answers for the White House at one point. So it's interesting the stuff that goes on in this interview. So let's check out what happened Sunday between Reince Priebus, the head of the Republican National Committee. Who they have said has also been hacked by Russia in these articles. And let's see what his response to these accusations are.
Lots of questions this Sunday for the president-elect's incoming chief of staff, Reince Priebus. Mr. Priebus, thank you for joining us again this morning.
Hey, good morning, George.
Let's begin with that shot across the bow of the CIA from your transition. It kind of startled intelligence officials. How is a President Trump going to work with intelligence agencies if he doesn't trust their work?
Well, he trusts the CIA. Look, George, this is about 17 or so unnamed agencies in an unnamed report that based a report on something that is totally false. The RNC was not hacked. And so the report is basically trying to make the case that the RNC was hacked, the DNC was hacked, and the only emails that came out were DNC emails. So therefore, this is the conclusive report that the Russians or whoever was doing the hacking.
You say he trusts the CIA, then why did your transition? Why did you put out a statement questioning the CIA?
Because the report was, excuse me, George, the entire report is based on unnamed sources who are perhaps doing something they shouldn't be doing by speaking to reporters or someone talking out of line about something that is absolutely not true. The FBI we contacted the FBI months ago when the DNC issue came about. They've reviewed all of our systems. We have hacking detection systems in place. And the conclusion was then, as it was again 2 days ago when we went back to the FBI to ask them about this, that the RNC was not hacked. So here we are now debating and talking about a story based on something that isn't true. And
That's only one element of the story. I mean, perhaps the FBI told you the RNC wasn't hacked, but do you know where all of your data was stored? It could have been stored in other archives. And are you confident that other intelligence agencies haven't reached the conclusion that some of your data was indeed hacked, perhaps personal Gmail accounts?
I'm telling you as an actual source to you, and the press, because you have no source otherwise other than an unnamed source that also concluded that everything else was inconclusive. I'm telling you as a source that to the best of my knowledge and based on conversations that the RNC has had with the FBI, that there I know of no instance that you're describing involving the RNC or the RNC's data. So it's hard for me to have a conversation about something that I have no evidence to the contrary.
Do you know where all your data was stored?
We know where our data is stored, George. We do. And we have reviewed all of that data along with security experts, along with folks at the FBI. And they've told us that we have not been hacked. And when the story hit in the New York Times, our folks went back to, not me personally, our chief operating officer, went back to his contact at the FBI and again was assured that we were not hacked. So talking about this story, which, by the way, the story itself said was inconclusive, It's I don't know what to tell you. It is unbelievable that the press would run with unnamed sources about something that they agree was inconclusive, but ignore the fact that the actual people involved on the other side of this story are telling you it's not
true.
Well,
this comes on the heels of another report from the intelligence community. All 17 intelligence agencies did come to an agreement that Russia was trying to influence the elections without describing a motive. When I spoke to President-elect Trump about that back in October, he said he hadn't gotten the briefing. Has he been briefed now on those findings?
Listen, I'm not, by the way, George, as you know from working in the White House, it takes a long time. I'm not the president, so the president, you know, has top secret clearance immediately. I don't. It takes time. So I'm not in those top secret meetings, nor would it be appropriate. The president can't tell me what's being said in a top secret meeting unless I have top secret clearance. I will eventually be in those meetings. But look, the Russians didn't tell Hillary Clinton to ignore Wisconsin and Michigan, okay? I mean, I know this is this insane analysis. She lost the election because her ideas were bad. She didn't fit the electorate. She ignored states that she shouldn't have. And Donald Trump was the change agent. OK, so this is all very interesting. But Donald Trump won in an electoral landslide that had nothing to do with the Russians. No,
nobody here is questioning the victory. I want to know why President-elect Trump doesn't believe the conclusions of 17 intelligence agencies.
But you don't have a source. I mean, you're claiming that an unnamed report. This is what I can't understand. Like, I think that.
No, but hold on a second, I'm talking about the finding in October that is public now of 17 different intelligence agencies saying Russia tried to meddle with our elections. That's before this weekend.
That's not true, George. You don't know that conclusively. The report also said that there wasn't agreement among the 17 agencies. When the FBI came out, when there was a conclusion on the DNC, their conclusion was very clear, and they made it public. Now, if the CIA,
that's what I'm talking about. That's precisely the conclusion I'm talking about. But the president says he doesn't accept that either.
But they didn't conclude that it was Russia, George. But they didn't conclude it was Russia. I don't care if it's Russia or whoever. They shouldn't. We're going to protect Americans. We don't want these countries or whoever else these people are hacking our country, our parties. We protect our Americans. We don't like it. We're against it. But what I can't do is have an intelligent conversation with you about a report in the New York Times that is unnamed, inconclusive, and based on something that isn't true.
I'm asking you about the conclusions that were made public back in October. But let's move on now. There's a statement just out this morning from several members of the Senate, both Democrats and Republicans, including the Democratic leader, Charles Schumer, John McCain, the chair of the Senate.
You know, that to me is fairly telling because, I mean, there's the head of the RNC blatantly refuting the fact that they were ever hacked and the fact that the FBI, the people who investigate cyber terrorism.
And it doesn't seem like, I mean, it seems as if that if the proof was there, like what this guy's asking him and everything, he's like, yeah, dude, like kind of like, yeah, we will protect and, you know, we're totally against hacking and and all this stuff.
You kind of got to be.
In other words, all around what he's saying, it sounds like he's telling him, hey, man, show me the proof. Yeah, we will, you know, do what we need to do to stop this and be, we're right there with you. But y'all have not showed us nothing yet.
Well, and that's just it. And that's the question for me is, and the big question is, you know, is it definitely Moscow? Has it definitely and conclusively been shown to
be coming
from Moscow? And, you know, the fact is the reports are saying, the articles are saying that the DNC and the RNC were equally hacked and that only the DNC emails were leaked in order to be detrimental to the election.
Right.
And in order to tip the scales in favor of Donald Trump. And that's what Reince was.
And yet
was.
The uranium guys are giving contributions. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, Reince later brings up a note because a lot of people say, you know, Donald Trump supports him. You know, Donald Trump likes Vladimir Putin, things like that. And, you know, he's like, does that necessarily, or it was actually talking about Tillerson, the nomination of Tillerson as our Secretary of State.
Yeah, Rex.
From Exxon. And him say, they were saying, you know, do you think this will be bad because he has close ties to Vladimir Putin?
Right.
He said, I don't think that will be bad with our foreign relations for Russia at all if our Secretary of State has an established relationship with the foreign leader. So
I don't think, like, being friends with another country doesn't mean we're letting our guard down or secrets out or anything like that. I hope the hell not. But
China hacked us and the Pentagon numerous times.
You put anything on the internet. Hey, you take a computer and you plug it into the internet, and you're vulnerable at that point, period.
China, here's a prime example of China's hacking skills. The reason they have taken over steel production is because they actually hacked into some computers here in the U.S., got the formula for steel production that we use.
Damn.
To produce our quality of steel.
Right.
And managed to make a manufacturing process that produces right at the same quality for almost half the cost.
Damn.
And it was through their hacking of industry.
Hillary smeared that in Trump's face on that last.
Used Chinese steel to build one of his buildings.
Yeah, right.
And she was a big part of starting the Trans-Pacific Partnership with China.
Let's see who's contributing to
else.
The Clinton Foundation, so, all of these outside countries.
Well, the question comes to bear, can we not have relations with a company that has hacked us? Or with a country
right.
that has hacked us? In the past.
It's spy versus spy. It's always been that way.
Exactly. At one point, we were hacking the British.
This is nothing new.
You know, it came out all of a year and a half, 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, PRISM, you know, with Edward Snowden and the fact that, you know, we were spying on not just U.S. people, but we were spying on foreign agencies.
Yeah.
We were spying on foreign governments, you know, all kinds of stuff. So
espionage has been going on forever.
It is spy versus spy, and it is the concept of, at least to me as of right now, disinformation. Because as Reince Priebus pointed out, until you get past an unnamed source,
right,
a third party unnamed source that has no connection to the Kremlin,
that's hearsay.
And that's just it. It's conjecture.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it would be seen as that kind of evidence in the court of law right now.
Right.
That's what kind of evidence we have. We have a really, really strong hunch that this is what it is.
Yeah.
And we haven't shown not only that it's not the Russian government, but that swayed the election. I mean, do you guys actually, do you think that swayed the election at all?
I don't know.
Did it sway your decision in the election at all?
What?
Let's say the email scandal, the hacking
any
of the
of
DNC,
that,
any of that.
Yeah,
did any of that change your political views in any way, Nelson? Did it change the way you voted?
No, but I wasn't involved in any of that internet shit. I mean, that's a whole different thing.
Hmm. Yeah. But, well, I mean, the revelation of the fact that the DNC was hacked. And that, you know, possibly
on TV and all the anything you saw on TV, like pertaining to.
I don't watch
it?
TV.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, you might have been in
it. I don't watch TV. Don't read my news on the internet. My news is all paper. So,
awesome.
You know?
Yeah.
So, it didn't interfere with that. I mean, that's great. I mean, I'm glad that didn't interfere with yours. You went basically on things that meant, you know, important to you and what was important that you thought, and that's what matters. So,
well, when it comes down to, you know, like we were saying before the show, a lot of it comes down to who you read, what you read,
right?
You know, like the prime example that was shown right after Trump's trip to Mexico, here in Texas, where the Wall Street Journal released two different issues of the same issue of the Wall Street Journal. One with the story slanted toward conservatives, one with the story slanted toward liberals, and it was distributed to conservative and liberal parts of Texas. Accordingly, you know,
like
Austin got the one that was liberal, Houston got the one that's conservative.
Yeah, two different ones, man. Yeah, I remember
two totally different slants on the same story.
Yeah, two front pages, totally different.
And, you know, it's, I don't know, to me, I've said it on this show numerous times, if you accept... to me anyway, if you accept an invitation to the White House press corps dinner, you've been bought for a steak.
Oh yeah,
you've been you've been bought for a $2,000 steak.
Oh yeah,
is what happened.
Oh, that's exactly what happened. Man, you know, yeah, the social media and all the mainstream media and all that stuff that's going on today has a highly huge, it's like a 90 or more or whatever, it's a huge percent of influencing the minds of today, I believe, because of so much people in the world is electronic, you know.
Well,
and
our connectivity is instant.
Right, and I kind of admire Nelson because, you know, like he says, he gets his news from the paper and you know, that is something that he avoids that, or I mean, maybe not purposely, but he's not able to see all this bullshit that's always out there.
Exactly.
And influencing minds, you know, the headlines could easily just a headline's like, boom.
I've said it before, literally, unless your job is news and media, unless that's your job, the chances of you actually catching the news when it happens, even whenever I worked on the program that I worked on, you know, people, the schedule would show up at 10 because show started at 11. And I finally cued into the point that, like, dude, by the time we show up at 10, what's on the news is repeat until 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Till we're halfway through program, you know? Like, one of us needs to be here at 6 a.m. when the news is actually happening.
Yeah.
When the headlines are actually coming out. That way we aren't following the follow-up. We're ahead of the curve. You know, we can see what's happening. And with the onset of online media has come this rampant expansion as to how fast news happens. And it happens in newsrooms all over the place where, like I said, you're chasing the headline.
Yeah.
You're chasing the next headline spot on Google. You're chasing the next title spot.
Right.
You know, the next Google search.
Right.
And that's what you're chasing. You're chasing a headline.
Yeah.
You're not necessarily investigating the story.
Yeah.
And by writing stories that are about the headline, how many times is it that you, like, the headline for that article was Russia interferes with U.S. election. We've yet to prove that.
And it's been said for months and months, but yet to prove it.
Yeah. So, you know, without being yet to prove it, should we be leading with that? Is that responsible for us? And we got into that argument earlier, or not argument, but discussion, rather, about being responsible. And that's something that we say all the time. Is people are like, even on this show, there's a disclaimer that people sign that basically says, I am a grown-ass human being, and I am responsible for the shit that I say. Dudes and Beer is not. To sum it up, that's not the legal terminology in the document, folks. but it should be, just that simple.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, even the people who came out with Pizzagate,
stuff
like that, which has led to businesses like the one Steve-O works at being targeted.
Yeah,
you know, locally.
We ourselves have not been have anything from it, any repercussions or whatever. But I've heard of our competitors.
Oh no! Yeah,
a huge problem.
Eastside Pizza here in
Austin
got a couple threats.
Yeah,
and, there was a dude I forget where
vandalism.
I forget where the dude was that, and I think it might have been in Washington where he
went in and fired a shot.
Yeah, went in with a rifle and started trying to off caps.
I heard somebody at work talking about this story and said he walked in and was asking them or something about like showing where the kids are chained in the basement and like unleash them or whatever.
Well,
you know?
And I mean,
I don't know if any of this is, you know, it's what I hear somebody
talking about. He started talking a bunch of conspiratorial stuff.
Right.
And I don't know if that's what actually happened
and
in
that's
the Podesta
the power
emails.
Of the media. That's the power of the headline. And that's when you know, if you don't know what you're putting out there and don't have nothing to back it up.
Exactly.
And you got to be careful what you put out there because the power is in your hand in a way.
Yeah.
Because you can influence so many people that are reading and listening. That, I mean, you don't know who's reading or listening to
but
you
that,
and what
also,
it can do.
That's also the problem, is the guy that started all of that was on not a news website.
Right.
He was on Reddit. Right. Yeah. That's not, like, you don't go there for your news.
No, you shouldn't.
Well, it's not necessarily about the news and the report. To me, it's more about the information decoding the code, which is what came from Reddit. The information on decoding the pedophile code inside of there is what came from Reddit. And, you know, and that not, to me is where,
if I'm
yeah,
not mistaken, there were some leaks.
You can't
or
consider
something.
That a source. There were some other people who supposedly hacked some emails and were onto this
Podestas
code and stuff like
all.
That. Well, no, other than no. Podesta, people who had hacked this Ring's emails and stuff. You know,
and honestly, I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. Hell, there was the federal.
There's all kinds of shit. Yeah. I mean, fuck. The FBI here recently was caught running two pedophile websites in order to catch people. And it's like, should you really be using the pedophile content that victimized some kids in order to catch some more pedophiles? I'm sure.
Dude, the APD has been doing that. Yeah. I remember in high school going to APD when I was in criminal class.
When you were
in school and you wanted to go into criminal justice, you would take a small course.
Sure.
I don't remember the name of the course, but we went to APD and there was these three fat weirdos sitting in a black room on, you know, websites that mainly had pedophiles.
Yes.
And they would chat with these guys and try to get them into saying stupid shit.
Well, and it's one thing.
Wow.
It's one thing.
Wow,
okay.
I believe it.
It's one thing for them to visit existing chat rooms and pose as somebody. It's another thing for them to be running the website that has pictures.
Yeah, but that's state between federal. Federal can do that.
That's dangerous, though.
It is not really, because you are catching idiots that need to be taught a lesson.
True. I'm not denying the catch a predator
sure,
aspect.
I understand.
I'm just saying that there are also proven methods like the one you're talking about that catch just as many without causing more damage to these people that have already been caused damage to.
Yeah.
Without using the pictures of victims and things like that.
I understand that, but you know, when you gotta go to the extremes to catch the people that are hiding behind those curtains that you can't catch in those typical chat rooms.
Yep.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But yeah, it...
Well, and
serves a purpose.
Well, and it absolutely does, and that to me is the question that comes to bear: is that where do we draw the line? Where do we make somebody accountable for saying or for putting out a story about Pizzagate, and then somebody goes out and shoots up a restaurant or walks into a busy pizza restaurant with a rifle and pops off around talking about Pizzagate? I don't know when we're going to get to a point where that kind of stuff is actively investigated, where that kind of stuff is actively put forth as, I don't know how to put it. I guess the repercussions for actions, you know, the repercussions for stories that you've put out. What if it comes out that this was not attached to the Kremlin whatsoever? You know, what kind of damage have we done to our possible relationship with Russia without this proof? That's something that needs to be brought into question as well. And those are things that I don't necessarily think that we're looking at
now.
I don't think the media has focused on the fact that nobody's denied anything in those emails. They've complained about the emails being found and about the emails being released, but they haven't actively denied the emails and the content of the email. And that, to me, is a big telling factor. That, to me, is something that just rings as odd, you know? And I don't know. For me, it's the fact of, let's get past a third-party source. Let's get past an unidentified source. And then, because they would ask no different of the news media in a court of law. They would ask no different of the news media. They ask no different of Deep Throat.
Yeah.
Whenever the things came out about Nixon and Watergate, they wanted to know who the source was.
It's like the Franklin Banks scandal deal was a pedophilia ring that was, you know, it's widely documented with the court.
Well, aside from that, because that goes into Pizzagate, and that's I don't even want to fucking touch Pizzagate with the 10-meter cattle prod.
But it existed back in late 80s or longer, but it hit the courts in late 80s and 90s.
And what happened?
What happened? The lead guy got put in jail for IRS purposes because they wanted him to be silenced, and they put him in there. But they had tons of testimonies from witnesses that were in it.
Court?
Yeah, Conspiracy of Silence is a documentary that was on, it was going to be on Discovery, and then they were going to air it, and then at the very last minute, it was taken off the air and said no, but it's on YouTube, Conspiracy of Silence, with the actual attorney and everything. And Noreen Gosh is part of that.
But
and
you just, I mean, the title.
Johnny Gosh was the big story, but.
The title.
Yeah.
Conspiracy.
Yeah, Conspiracy of Silence.
Yeah. The title is called Conspiracy.
Well, yeah.
Of Silence.
Yeah, but here's the thing. And this is a point that I make to people all the time about conspiracy theory, all right? You cannot deny that conspiracy theories exist. You cannot deny that conspiracies exist. Otherwise, people could not be convicted of conspiracy to commit murder.
I understand that, but
conspiracy is more than one person colluding to an ultimate end.
They were able
the
to
conspiracy
take
of murder is difference is a big difference between someone saying a conspiracy theory about Pizzagate.
All I'm trying to say is that
when someone is titling a fucking movie with the word conspiracy in it,
it's not for the best. However, all they are stating is that more than one person colluded to this ultimate end.
And that's it's someone's opinion. Not facts.
Well, I haven't seen the documentary. I don't know. I have no idea.
Documentary is insane.
The gentleman in the documentary was apparently convicted for something. Yeah. He wasn't convicted possibly for the charges put forth against him, but he was convicted for something. So I'd have to see it. I have no frame of reference in which to make it. But the term conspiracy, and I'll defend it to my dying day, and it's the fact of conspiracy theories have been proven.
Right.
It's been proven. Like, there was a conspiracy theory that the Gulf of Tonkin was fake, that the Gulf of Tonkin never actually happened, and that shit was declassified a few years ago that the Gulf of Tonkin was a CIA op to bring us into the fucking Vietnam War.
Yeah, and the head naval guy was actually, which is crazy, Jim Morrison's father.
But, I mean,
that's a fact.
It's I don't know. To me, it's the demonization of a word, and I think it dismisses a lot of things by putting the term conspiracy in front of something, because like Nelson said, it rings with a bad title.
It does,
begin with, because of the word conspiracy.
Because of the word itself.
And most people will dismiss things because of the word conspiracy being involved in it.
But things come later.
I'm of an open mind. I consider all things until evidence has been proven otherwise.
Like, I wrote a little thing recently about, you know, the Element 115 it could not even exist.
We covered that, and said it was an old story. Yeah. We covered the Unimpentium story when it happened. Bob Lazar, a guy who's been discredited numerous times as far as being
Element
crazy.
Element 115 is, you're crazy.
Having worked at Area 51 on reverse-engineered spacecraft, and that they ran on an isotope of uranium called Element 115 on Unimpentium.
Which is, never
heard
of.
That didn't exist yet.
Yeah.
Didn't exist, and it was, you know, displaced for a long time, and he was told that he was nuts and
crazy.
But
then in 2012, it was reported we smashed atoms.
Not even 2012. It was all of this last year that Unimpentium actually made it onto the periodic table of elements as element 115.
Yeah.
An isotope of uranium. And before that, it was like, nope, doesn't exist, nope, can't exist, won't exist.
Yeah, exactly.
And suddenly,
can't,
it exists.
Won't, this is crazy, this is, you know.
Suddenly, it exists. Now, That I wouldn't necessarily call conspiracy theory, as far as I'm concerned, because it's not anything that...
I was just thinking it was something that somebody said before that you know, people are like, oh, it doesn't exist, but then guess what? Now it does all of a sudden.
Well, and that's just it. You know, you have to come to the term... You have to come to the actual marriage of the terms conspiracy and theory. And the fact is, much like the theory of evolution, we teach it fairly much as the fact of evolution, but there's technically a few skeletons missing there.
Yeah.
There's technically a few pieces of key evidence missing there to make that full length. So
right.
Technically, it's still a theory.
Yeah.
Still a working theory.
Yeah.
Because the evidence has not proven otherwise yet. So, whenever you look at the term theory and the fact that this is an idea and a concept that may possibly exist, and then you look at the term conspiracy, here's a few people that colluded to an ultimate end, all you're talking about is a concept of how some people have colluded to an ultimate end. That's it. And conspiracy theories are proven all the time in court. That's how people are convicted of conspiracy.
Okay, yeah, there's conspiracy of murder.
So,
yeah.
Those are active conspiracy theories in a small term sense, but proven nonetheless,
yeah,
because people are convicted of conspiracy.
Sentences for conspiracy
and
of stuff.
The word began to be demonized years and years ago. And, you know, to me, it's something that it's odd waters for us to cross, and it's dangerous waters for us to cross, and to condemn conspiracy theory, because that, to me, gets rid of scientific theory and gets rid of these crazy concepts in science, like Unimpentium, that shouldn't have existed and didn't exist and yada-da for 20-something years, and suddenly, there it is in front of your face, and it exists, and it's got the properties that Bob Lazar talked about. Very odd to me, very interesting. You look at cases like Operation Gladio and numerous things that were conspiracy theory about how the U.S. had involved themselves in elections or how the U.S. had swayed foreign governments during World War II and stuff like that, and been proven fact. Been showed years after, when things are declassified, that this conspiracy theory was actual fact. That it actually happened. So, conspiracy theories have been proven correct numerous times. So, to me, it's a dangerous thing to dismiss them outright, but it's also a dangerous thing in how you put them out. And that to me, is where the responsibility and accountability comes in. Because if you're putting out something like Pizzagate and stuff like that, you damn well better have some good evidence, man. You better have some really good evidence to be accusing these people of what you're accusing them of. Same thing as with this Russia shit. You better have some damn good evidence and some real evidence connecting it to the Kremlin, not some third-party actors with loose ties to intelligence agencies that don't have ties to the Kremlin itself, before you start saying that the Kremlin interfered with the U.S. election, or that this leak itself interfered with the U.S. election or swayed electoral votes in any way, shape, or form. That in and of itself would be conspiracy theory by all technical terminology. What the CIA is proposing as of right now, until proof is given, is theory of conspiracy, and in and of itself a conspiracy theory. So, I mean, just to support a whole episode here, that's until evidence comes out that it's been connected to the Kremlin, I won't say it's Russia with a capital R. It's some Russians. It's some Russian citizens that maybe did some shit, and they gave it over to WikiLeaks, and WikiLeaks is the source of the leak, technically. They're the ones that put shit out. But it, to me, once again, it's a question of, is what's in the leaks true? You know, and I'm not even a millennial, as Ben Swan stated, that's what matters to them. That's what matters to me, because technically that's the facts behind the case. Yes, possibly some Russians hacked some shit And you need to figure out how they hacked it and stopped it, just like John Podesta said. We need to put sources into, we need to put activation into place that stops this kind of stuff. We also need to make sure that we're taking the proper efforts to conserve our data and keep that data, much like you, Nelson. You're fairly off-grid, man, and, you know, you've asked numerous times if you should restart Facebook because of this show. And I'm like, no, no, by all means, don't restart Facebook just to share our posts. Don't do that. Don't put yourself out there if you don't want to be out there, you know? Because, yeah, it is all our responsibility. It's our accountability. They made these emails. They went out. The question that should be asked is, are they true? And then we can worry about the source of the emails. You know? The question is, are the emails true?
That's most important.
You know, to me, much like this show, it's the simple realization that we're the ones that make our reality. We're the ones that put this out there. We're the ones that buy into this narrative. So keep your minds open, folks. You know, try not to get wrapped up in the headlines. Actually read the story, because when you read the story, you see the fact that it's third-party actors, that it's not confirmed that it's Russia. Everything that, you know, Reince Priebus brought up about the articles is absolutely true. It hadn't been proven yet, so why are we talking about this? Like, he straight up said, like, I cannot have an intelligent discussion about an article that uses third-party sources that are not named on some information that cannot be firmly confirmed. You know? And that's what we have to look at. And the question of how easily we're pushed to this didactic, how easily we are pushed to division as a country and as a people. And that's our responsibility. That's our responsibility as adult grown-ups to educate ourselves, to look across the aisle, as we've done on this show, to invite conversations in our lives that bring up these hard questions. Because when we deny the hard questions, when we don't focus on those, that's when we're taken in. That's when we have stopped our point of critical thinking in this scenario. And to me, that's the danger, is that we stop our points of critical thinking, that we utterly let ourselves be taken over by any kind of regime. Be it a social media regime, be it a fake news regime, be it anything like that, that is spreading fear, that's spreading hearsay, conjecture in the guise of fact. And that's the mainstream media and that's the outside media. That's both of them. Right. And you really have to go through things with a fine-tooth comb, like Nelson was saying, and look at sources and investigate sources. And that's the point that Reince was bringing up, is that we have no confirmed sources here.
Nah.
We have none of that. So until that point, we can't point a finger, truly.
Nah, you can't.
And
we're
4 months later. Like, yeah. That came out in August.
Yeah.
That this was happening, and now we're still talking about it. It's still a point of debate.
I feel like if it was such an issue and something they really wanted to get across or something, or, I mean, you know, like, present the fact, you know, like, have, I mean, you know, totally convince the minds that are now, you got the attention of, that this is real, and present the fact, other than now, it's just, we just hear the same old, but it's not proven anything. Give us the proof, you know?
Well, and that's the question, is where is the proof? Is the proof there? Will the American people buy this? What's going on? Will they try to push this as a means by which to overturn the Electoral College vote by December 20th?
Oh, my gosh. That's 7 days.
Yeah. Yeah, and not only that, but would that not be a slipshod investigation?
I mean, check this out. The fact is that they could actually, that electoral could actually change by December 20th. They have up until December 20th to change.
Yeah.
Which could change the whole election.
Well, and we'll see. I don't think that's going to be the case.
I don't think, but imagine if it did.
Imagine if it did. And the real question comes to bear that there's been 4 months of investigation into this so far with no fruit of knowledge coming out. And on that note, you know, we got 7 days. So this story makes the news headlines 7 to 10 days before the close of the Electoral College. And the question is, will that sway the vote? Will that change things? The problem is they're calling for an all points investigation on it. We got 7 days to do an all points investigation. Is that enough time to properly research things and find out the facts at hand if we haven't found them out in 4 months?
Right, in 4 months.
If in 4 months we haven't found it.
We already had 4 months.
Will we find it in the next 7 days? That's the question. And on that question and on that note, we're going to leave you guys with that thought. Until next time, folks, thanks so much for tuning in to Dudes and Beer. Check us out online. Check out the new stuff on Spreaker and on the website, Thinking Deeply. It's some new kind of avant-garde, you know, 15-20-minute type stuff where I'm just sitting back and talking about a social meme or something like that. The last one was all about Prohibition on the last day of Prohibition. Like last week. So until next time, folks, I'm Chris Jordan, your host. Thank you so much, Nelson and Steven, for being here for the last fucking year and being a part of this shit. Episode 80, guys. Imagine that's where we're at.
Episode
80. Until next time, everybody, thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks so much for tuning in always. Keep tuning in. Keep it up. Keep keeping your open mind.
Keep on keeping on, man.
Until next time, everybody, remember, if you're misbehaving, if you can't be good,
be good at it.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our live audio streams, tune in at dudesandbeer.com or spreaker.com/dudesandbeer. You can find our episodes on soundcloud.com as well as the Google Play and iTunes market. You can also find us on YouTube, Stitcher, and your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the Revolution Digital Group family of podcasts. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.